Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Mike Raley here, all decked out in a bow tie this morning. I never didn't expect that. But Brother Rufus gave me a bow tie this morning. Rufus, will you describe it? And
A friend of mine years ago gave me a bow tie. I don't know why in the world, because I've never worn a bow tie except a clip-on. And it sat on my desk drawer for years and years, and this morning I thought, my gosh, Mike Raley can wear a bow tie. Why don't I bring it? Well, it comes in a nice little case called collard greens.
Yeah.
And the bow tie has on it little pigs, little pink pigs.
That's right.
And it looks very appropriate, except Gerald and I watched you tie it.
Yeah, I had a whole audience in here.
Yeah, and Tony Bigsby and John.
Nobody could tie a bow tie.
And it looks fabulous, and I think it'd be very appropriate. A man gave that to me who's from Canada.
Oh, wow.
And he would be happy to know that his tie is now famous, made by a Hall of Famer, worn by Hall of Famer Mike Raley. So the pig has a good sty.
It does, but I tied it without a mirror this morning, and it's the pigs are upside down.
Well, so, pigs fly sometimes.
You can hear them squealing right now, as a matter of fact. But thank you very much. What a beautiful tie. It's navy with pink pigs. I'll have to wear it down to Dorchess, too.
Oh, yes.
Oh, me. Well, y'all all right? Gerald Adams is with us, my buddy, the tomato guru, and... You all right?
Good morning. Yes, doing fine.
I knew that a country boy. I told Gerald he could call in if he wanted to, and told Rufus to call in. Rufus showed up. Gerald showed up. I knew Gerald. I knew definitely that Gerald would, because he's a good old country boy.
Well, your comment to me was, Gerald will be here.
Yeah, Gerald yeah. will be here. He's the only tobacco farming Carolina graduate that I
probably.
So
I used to work with Burley, so. Well, include me in there.
That's true. But that's a different animal, isn't it, Gerald?
Very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, we thought Flukeard was very different.
Yeah. I bet. Yeah. Down under the mountain. So, Rufus, you walked around this morning. I noticed a lot of ice on trees. There is, I think, 6,000 people in North Carolina are without power. There are a few hundred, I think 100 maybe an hour ago in Wake County. Duke Energy and the co-ops are working hard to get everybody back online. But I assume that nobody in our group here had power problems last night. And
well, in my walk around, Mike and Gerald, I did find a couple camellia limbs bent down. In fact, one at the gate that I had to get out and prop up, because these were the japonicas, heavy with buds, ready to go, and got a little ice on them, and this is one of the old trees that's been there over 50 years. As you come in the gate, both of you have seen it's on the left. And so that, I saw no damage. I checked on the Daphne. I glanced at them. I didn't walk over and poke around any. I don't want to disturb them, but they seem to be getting about
oh,
ready.
Oh, for goodness sake, we don't want to disturb a Daphne. Absolutely not.
I have some hellebore that popped out. I've noticed, Gerald, that the hybrid hellebore bloom earlier.
Yeah, a lot of them do, than the
seeded ones.
Yeah.
And I still like my old seeded ones. They've taken over the place, but
that's okay.
It's just something different in this landscape.
Well, it's hard not to like something that will bloom perfectly fine in pure shade and a deer won't eat.
And the crappiest soil you can find.
Yeah.
As if we can say that on the radio.
Oh, did I say? Oh, yes.
That's all right. There is a fish that...
I got to listen to that Bible verse. He who holds his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. That's in Proverbs now, folks. I can't quite... I'm sure I have somebody out there in radio land, but look it up right quick. He who holds his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles.
Have you ever tried to hold your tongue?
Ooh, think about how many times
many of
us should have heeded that good wisdom in the book of Proverbs.
I'm talking about with your hand, with your fingers, if you tried to hold your tongue. See, that's what I think of.
Oh, good Lord.
Try that. Oh. The dentist can do it, but...
You sure warped that one, brother.
I'll tell you. So,
that bug eyes put you into a different world.
Well, I'm in broadcasting. Of course I'm in a different world. They just let me out every morning. But I noticed there was ice, as I mentioned about the power. The ice is on the limbs of trees, but it's not a quarter inch of ice like we fear in this area, a quarter of inch or more. I'm very thankful we didn't have a lot of power outages this morning, and the roads are in pretty good shape this morning, although you shouldn't go fast. The bridges are definitely something you should worry about, but don't drive fast. But Gerald, when we have, as Rufus was talking about, something leaning down, usually with snow, lots of the weighted snow on it, should we shake it off or just leave it alone?
I think more often than not, you're just better off to leave it alone. Now, if you look at it and see from the severity of how it's been in that you're afraid that it's going to break, I mean, lots of times the limbs on shrubs and trees are a lot stronger and more flexible than you realize. Mm-hmm. But most of the time you get to shaking it and it's got the ice and weight on it. And like in the case Rufus was talking about, you might could snap off the buds on that camellia.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was afraid of.
You were doing that.
It took me a tube before under that baby.
Yeah. There have been some times where I propped some stuff up to, you know, it was touching the ground and it should have been 4 foot off the ground. And I might would easily slide something up to take some of the weight off the tip of it there. But it's shocking. You go out and see pine trees bent over to the tips touching the ground, and 2 days later they're standing back up straight just like nothing ever happened.
Yeah. And that's something we always worry about, are the pine trees, a little more spindly than some of the oak trees, but the oak trees have a lot more weight on them sometimes, especially if we get something like this when the leaves are on the trees, which is certainly possible as long as the leaves stay on the trees now with our warmer weather. But, you know, if you have a chance, get out and look. I know the birds are very active this morning, so like Rufus does, and I do, and Gerald, you probably do too, feed the birds, have bird feeders, and the squirrels get a little bit too.
Their share.
Yeah, they certainly get their share, but that's a nice thing to do. It's fascinating, the winter landscape, as I've said many times. It's my favorite. I really love the winter landscape. So, Rufus, your camellias have been blooming for a while now. You're into the japonicas?
Well, as Gerald knows and you know, this year has been hardly any transition from Sasanqua. Some of those are still blooming a little bit. The Yuletide, which is always supposed to not bloom in October and does. And some of the japonicas are now popping out, but I would say about 15 of my trees are so loaded that I can't wait. I can't wait. But there's been usually you'll have the fall blooming sasanquas, and then you've got this period where nothing's blooming. Well, something seems to be blooming at all times now, Gerald. I think it's this climate thing.
Well, it's some of that, and the individual microclimates change so much, and some of these newer cultivars, depending, you know, how they were crossed, where they were raised at. I mean, you talk about Yuletide, and there have been plenty of years I've seen it bloom the middle of December, right before Christmas, thus the name. And then there have been plenty of years I've seen it bloom in October, like this year.
Like now, yeah.
So it's every time you think you figured it out, it'll do something different the next year. It's unreal. But the great thing about the Japonica camellias, you know, they're not all that many things that will be blooming in the next 30 days, and they most certainly will be. So that's it's good to be able to count on that.
I have I don't think I've ever seen my winter winter sweet blooming like it has bloomed this year. I'm not sure I looked at it this morning and I had ice all over the blooms and the limbs, but it has been fabulous. I cut off a bunch of limbs and took them in the house, and Melissa arranged them, and it smelled really good.
Is that the one that smells like banana Kit Kat?
Kits, yeah.
Yeah.
Love them. And there are several varieties. I have, the old standard variety. It has larger, a little bit larger flowers than some of the hybrids that you see. But there's also the winter honeysuckle. Rufus, yours is in a lot more sun than mine. Has it started blooming yet?
Not quite yet, but I do have quince that's budded up. And I will go this afternoon and cut off a couple branches, put them in some warm water, and get some quince blooms. And also, I noticed, too, the Prunus mume is budding up. That has always been an amazing plant to me.
You've had a Prunus mume for the same plant for years and years.
Absolutely, and it's huge.
It's happy.
It's very happy, and it I planted it where I never thought it would live. It's on sort of a ridge-like thing, and it must like that, no water.
Well, and that's
yeah, it does.
That's the thing that gets them. I don't know how many I've seen that lasted about 15 years and kaput. That was it. And it's the root rot that gets them, and doing something that enables them to be in better draining soil is usually the key to get one on past that 20-year note where they're just gigantic, full of blooms and all that. So
they like sun. They prefer sun, and they prefer good drainage. And you're right, because they don't really have a lot of pests. I've seen borers in one before.
And lots of times, it's kind of the same like with crepe myrtles. When you see borers, usually the tree was under some other stress i.e. poor drainage, and that's when the borers came to town.
Yeah.
Now, that old nasty-looking stuff that comes in a peach tree or this or that, I noticed a little bit of that one time, and I just ignored it, and it seems to have gone away.
Yeah.
That oozy stuff that comes out, what causes that? The borers?
Borers can cause
oozing. Yeah.
Yes.
It's a nasty, greasy looking substance at the base of the plant.
Yeah, you're lucky you overcome that without doing something about the borers.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. Mike Rayleigh here, along with Gerald Adams. Brother Rufus Edmonston is here. You know, all the problems that we have with our vehicles, weather-wise, I mean, just take this morning, for instance, if your car is sitting outside, it can mess up a few things, I'd say. But folks at King's Auto Service can give you a lot of information about how to take care of your car, when to bring it in, why you should bring it in, and there's so many reasons why you should bring it in. Just think about those windshield wipers sitting in. I can see you right now going out and pulling on the arms of those windshield wipers and messing up the rubber a little bit. You know, the rubber cracks because of the extreme heat and extreme cold around here. So you need to, start with that. Why not? And speaking of rubber, the belts and hoses – whatever fiber, and they may not be rubber now, some other composite material. But get them checked, because they don't last forever, and they don't often give you a lot of warning if they're going to go bad and you don't want to be stranded. There's so many ways to be stranded with your vehicle. And get them to check the radiator, heater core. The radiators are not the heavy metal like they were so many years ago. And there are a lot of other things that you can do. If you have a hybrid vehicle, they have at King's Auto Service folks who can check that high voltage battery pack, certified hybrid technicians. They've been trained specifically for this. And all of the folks at King's are well trained, including the owner, Dean Bailey. So get your batteries checked. Get that 12-volt battery checked in any kind of car, because they don't last as long as they used to either. Get the tires checked. Get the brakes checked. All of it. Just get a once-over from the folks at King's Auto Service. King's Auto Service is at 1039 Northwest Street in downtown Raleigh, and kingautomotive.net. King's Automotive Service, Raleigh's most reliable auto care since 1946. We'll be back. Ooh, I'm supposed to say something. Good morning, everybody. Mike Rayleigh here. It's 33 degrees now. Let's see. Yeah, it looks like it's 33. That's what it said on my vehicle when I was coming in, and it looks like it's still 33. Tony Rigsby is with us.
It went up to 33 a little after 7 this morning. I got here this morning a little before 4 o'clock. It was 31. So it went up 2 degrees, and we'll take it. Gets us above freezing.
Now, did you drive over here from the hotel? Or
I did.
It's on the hotel's on Highwood. So
yeah.
I drove the whole two blocks. I have walked before. Have you walked before?
I have. Yeah. I have. When it was snow, and it was, but this morning,
deep.
Yeah, it was just ice. This morning when I came out.
So power, all of that. There are some power outages.
Yeah, we talked to Jeff Brooks a little bit after 7 o'clock this morning, and he was saying, in general, it went pretty well. Not a whole lot of power outages in North Carolina, a couple hundred scattered outages here in the Triangle area. Real early this morning, we had about 2,000 out in Durham, but part of that was a result of an accident last night that a car hit a power pole and knocked it down. But in terms of the ice causing the lines to break and come down, we really haven't had much of a problem at all.
There was a 9-vehicle pileup on I-87 near Knightdale last night.
Yeah.
Jerry, you weren't involved with that.
I was not involved.
Okay, there was one in Raleigh this morning that did have a power impact, and that was over on White Oak Road near Anderson Drive. A car hit a power pole, knocked that down, and that knocked out power to, I think, just under 100 people.
Ooh.
But I think that has been taken care of now.
That was
3 or 4 o'clock this morning.
Not
far from
area.
Five Points. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where all those fancy people live.
Yes, they do.
Oh, my.
Some really nice houses in there.
I bet they got the power back on quick.
Yeah. But, you know, Jeff Brooks was talking this morning about the big advantage that Duke has now is they've got this self-healing technology that it can reroute it over to other lines, and so it gets it restored a whole lot faster that way.
Yeah, that's fun.
I remember a storm one time. Francis, remember that one?
Yeah.
Everything was down, and I was Secretary of State, and I knew Sherwood Smith very well. I called him up and I said, Sherwood, make mine the last one you turn on, because I don't want the News and Observer and the TV saying, you turned on Rufus Edison's power before anybody else. Make mine the last. He said, well, that's the dirtiest request I've ever received.
Hey, since you're in here, Tony and I talked about earlier this week our late president, Jimmy Carter, and he was in Asheville in 1978.
October 3rd, 1978.
Yeah. And there are a lot of Governor Hunt was there, a lot of dignitaries. We wanted to know why you were not there. We assumed that you were taking care of Attorney General's business.
Well, a matter of fact, I was there.
You were?
Yes.
Were you incognito?
Well, and there was a picture in the News Observer, by the way, here recently, that had me in it, so I can prove it.
All right. Well, hold on a second. Hold on with that story. We got to take a break and go to the news. Antoine, are you doing the news?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, Tony's going to do the news. And then we'll be back and finish this story and talk more about plants and all kinds of stuff on The Weekend Gardener. Well, Tony left. We were going to... Oh, okay. Can you hear now? Too loud? You got to control it right there.
It's all the way down.
Oh, okay.
It's all right.
It's well, kind of ease it on back or something. I don't know. Or hit the table. Hit the table. That usually works when
it'll go out.
That. Okay. We'll get the engineers on it. Tony walked out, and we were going to continue. He obviously forgot. Maybe I need to go back and get him and see if he's wandering down the hall. But you're going to finish about your story and the late President Jimmy Carter.
Yes, we were all for a campaign event up in Asheville. Big platform out at the airport.
So you were there. We just didn't see
you. Yes, I was there. And Jim Graham did his famous donkey bray pantomime, which was enough to scare children and old folks to death. And then President Jimmy Carter went down the line. It's good to see my friend Jim Graham. It's good to see my longtime friend and wonderful governor James Hunt. And it's good to see my good friend Edmund Ruferton.
Edmund Ruferton.
I looked around. Nobody, everybody snickered. Jim Graham went, hoo, 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 hoo. And I've never forgotten that. Yeah. My good friend Edmund Ruferton.
Edmund Ruferton. Well.
And then later in life, I had the great pleasure of going with my friend John C. Setzer from Hickory, North Carolina, to one of the Sunday services. We took a little bus trip down there with some folks. And what a wondrous remembrance of Jimmy Carter teaching Sunday school. So I have that great, great memory of being in his little church and rode with him on a plane one time. He always, after he left the presidency, he rode coach. He was on an airplane from Washington to Raleigh, and sitting back there, and there was an agent with him, and I was across the aisle, and he was going from Washington to Raleigh to go down to Pittsburgh to that book place at...
Farrington.
Farrington,
mm-hmm.
For a signing.
Right.
And we just had this very... nice conversation. It was like talking to an old peanut farmer.
Right. Except he was a Naval Academy graduate and a former president and a nuclear engineer. I mean, he was an engineer. He had an engineering degree and was served on nuclear sub. So he was more than the peanut farmer. He gave up the Navy, a naval career, to go back and help his parents with the farm. So,
well, it shows what you can do after politics.
Yeah, he did a lot, certainly did. But I'm glad that we know. I just could not imagine that you were not there. But now I remember that you told me that story about the Edmund Ruferton instead of Rufus Edmonston that you were called. And I just didn't associate it with the appearance in Asheville. So.
Oh, yes, it certainly was. I shall never forget it.
I'm sure you won't. All right, let's go to Lewis. Lewis, good morning. You're on the Weekend Gardener.
Good morning, fellas. How y'all doing today? Good.
Lewis, how's everything in Rocky Mount? Y'all got some ice and snow?
A little bit. It really didn't do too much up here, and that's good because we've got a big event at the Rocky Mount Event Center today, and that was delayed a bit. We'll start it at noon and do it, but... Right on time, I called to mention a little thing I have about Jimmy Carter, too. And by the way, Rufus, he screwed up somebody else's name one time. You might remember at the 1980 convention, I believe it was in New York, Hubert Horatio Hornblower.
Well, I can see how that could happen.
I was there. I was there.
Yeah, I was living in New York when that happened. I saw his motorcade. It was at Madison Square Garden, right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to tell you, my personal experience with Jimmy Carter, he's the only president I've actually met, although I did see President Trump at the Rocky Mount Event Center earlier this year or last year.
Where is the Rocky Mount Event Center? Is that
now? It's right downtown here. It's a world class facility.
Gosh, I have not seen that. I got to go to downtown Rocky Mount. I used to love it. Love going downtown.
It's a beautiful, beautiful facility, and I'm happy to be working for them.
Oh wow!
But anyway, my personal thing with Jimmy Carter is, I met him during the 76 campaign. He came to Wilmington, and he spoke at UNC Wilmington, and I was attending UNCW at that time, and or I just graduated. Anyway, I saw him speak, and then he was coming out of Keenan Auditorium, and everybody was out there. The crowd was out there waiting for him to come out, and I remember a couple of ladies behind me saying, oh, he's the first cute one since Kennedy. He comes along the line and he starts shaking hands, you know. And of course, the State Patrol was around him and the Secret Service. And I swear I got the longest handshake of the 76 campaign. Because what happened was, when he came in and got to me, he grasped my hand. And at that very moment, an aide got his attention. And he turned away from me back towards his aide. And conferred with his aide for a few seconds for a little while he's still shaking away, still shaking my hand.
I'm standing there
shaking Carter's hand.
They're probably checking you out, Lewis, for a threat.
And then he turned around, and I said, I think he's going to make a great president. I was wearing a Beatles T-shirt, the Beatles. And he says, as he passed on along, he goes, "Oh, by the way, I like the Beatles." And he went on.
A very personable guy, certainly was.
He was. So I thought, well, he's got my vote. So there you go.
Well, Lewis, take it easy. Don't fall or slip or anything now.
I won't. Y'all have a good one, and we'll talk at you later.
All right, bud.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Go Duke.
Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Whatever.
All right, that's my old buddy Lewis Musser. His daddy was the first minister I remember at the Nashville Methodist Church way back in the day, Mr. Musser. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. We'll talk to Ken and Carrie straight ahead. We're back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener here in WPTF. There are power outages, a few here and there. It's not... None of this is as bad as I think we were expecting, and we will talk more, hopefully, about this with National Weather Service just after the 9:30 news, and Brother John and Tony will keep us updated on everything that's going on, too. I want to take one more call here about Jimmy Carter since we started this, and Ken is with us. Ken, did you have an experience with the former president?
Well, I did. I just love hearing Rufus. Let me say that. Just love hearing Rufus. I could listen to you all day. In fact, I should.
Ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth?
I just can't get enough of it. Rufus, you were in the in office when I was my first time voting. I voted for Jimmy Carter, and that, you know, didn't take too long for me. And I got married in 78, and I had a cousin that worked in D.C. at Secret Service in the White House. So my wife and I started on our honeymoon, and, you know, we went through D.C. to see my aunt and her son, my cousin, and he arranged a White House tour for us. Back then, I think it was a lot easier to get in.
It wasn't a fortress back then, Ken, you're right.
That's right, but he took us through and showed us around and went downstairs, and he showed us the Situation Room, and the door was closed. And I don't think the movies get it right, because back then there was this porthole, this like 12-inch porthole with like three layers of glass, soundproof, that you couldn't, you know. But it was, we looked through there and said, can we go in? He said,
No.
He said, wait just a minute. And he said, he picked up the phone and he said, this is Deputy Duty Officer Burleson. Where's the president? And he hung up and he said, he's on the tennis court. So this was about 11 o'clock in the morning. He said, come on. And he took us up to the Oval Office. And I think I had a camera around my neck. I said, can I take a picture? He said, no. Can I get behind his desk? He said no. But it was a memory to have him take that tour and be there in the White House.
Well, Ken, that is just wonderful. I have a similar story, which I won't tell right now, but
no, I want you to.
A Secret Service friend. And I
go ahead, Rufus. Why not?
I remember the name of that agent you're talking about. Wasn't he had North Carolina connections?
He did. Well, he was from Hertford, North Carolina. Our family grew up in Hertford.
Catfish Hunter country.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Catfish Hunter with my mom babysat for him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, way back. So, yeah, in fact, Catfish, if you go to the general store down there, there was his report card was posted up on the wall, Catfish Hunter, and it had this comment, enjoys recess a little too much.
Yeah.
Well, his old home was occupied by the hot dog eating champion of the world, Mort Hurst. Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah, old Mort Hurst, he finally left this world. But when I was, I had a lot of access to the White House when I was with President Clinton, and I were buddies. And I had a lady, and you mentioned going downstairs. What intrigued me the most was one time I went down there to take a tour with they call them uniform Secret Service agents, and went downstairs to look over the kitchen. And down there below was some old remnants with a plaque on it where the original White House burned down in the War of 1812.
Oh, wow.
People don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, here was that remnant, but there's a whole city down there, Ken. And it was just like a little city, flower shop, everything you can dream of was in the basement complex of that White House. And people say, wasn't it the thing you liked the most? I got to sit one time in the Oval Office chair while President Clinton was there. He allowed me to. But the thing that intrigued me the most was that underground city that's under the White House that is self-sustaining. You could almost do anything down there. So when you intrigued me and you said we got to go to the basement, and yes, that is where the Situation Room is, because it's got to be fortified.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I went, my daughter, when she was in Washington working for Bob Etheridge, dated a guy for a good while who was working for President Bush. And so when we went up to visit one time, we got a tour early on a Sunday morning of the White House West Wing.
Oh.
And you could not go in the Oval Office. There was one of those brass posts on either side with the thing barring you from getting in. But I could peep in there.
Yeah.
And the most intriguing thing to me were the – I don't know if they're still there, if they change them out or what, were the Norman Rockwell sketches that were on the wall there just outside, because there are some chairs outside the Oval Office that people can sit to wait to go in to see the president. And these are from the 30s, I believe, when Rockwell was trying to get in to see President Roosevelt. And he sat there, and he sat there, and he sat there. And these are the sketches of people going in and out of Roosevelt's office.
Oh, my. I read about those. I've never seen them.
Yeah.
Well, Rufus, when you quoted the proverb earlier, I thought about this Jimmy Carter thing. You may remember. So he had just been in office not long, was addressing the federal employees, and he said, those of you, you know, married out here, you know, appreciate something. I don't know what brought it up, but I just remember hearing it on the radio, probably on PT. I'm sure it was on PTF, about those of you married here in the audience and those of you single, whatever. And he said, and those of you living in sin. And I thought, this is probably the first president in a long time that would publicly tell people they were living in sin.
Oh, yes.
From Plains, Georgia.
He did also utter the phrase, I lusted in my heart.
That's right. Yeah. He was being very honest. A very honest man, period.
Maybe the last honest one we've had.
Ken, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, nice talking to you. Have a safe day. How's everything in Cary?
I had a picture. I took a picture of my Ring doorbell out the front, and just a dusting, just a little dusting of snow. Sun's hitting the houses across the street, and it's bright. My cars are covered with just a little bit of snow, but I'm sure if the temperature gets up, we're going to all be melted here. So.
Yeah, but be careful because, I mean, you're still going to find some ice.
I'm not going anywhere. As long as Ruth's on the radio, I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, well, we'll be here until 11.
All right.
Unless he gets a call from...
Well, I'll get a bathroom break occasionally. I'll be here.
Yeah, yeah. Other than that. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Gerald, we were talking off the air about seeds. You're starting to seed.
I started...
Not in the ground, but...
Week before last, the hot pepper, I do everything in plug trays, usually 128-count plug trays, and your super hot peppers, Carolina Reaper, Ghost Pepper, are slow to germinate, slow to get rooted. So they take a lot longer, and the time I get through all that, then I go through the rest of the chili peppers, and I've just about finished round one of the hot peppers, and I'll start on sweet peppers this week.
Well, let me see if I've messed up grandly. Mm-hmm. About 2 weeks ago, I took Cousin Gladys's heirloom tomato, my dear sweet cousin, mm-hmm. Johnson State of Tennessee, who died. And I want to save that so badly, so I've got good seed. Got my little cedar out and put it in the Florida room. They've popped up. They've germinated already. I'm not too early, am I?
Well,
don't scare me.
You're kind of early.
Yeah.
I start the dwarf tomatoes because they are a little bit slower to grow out about the 1st of February. And then all the rest of the tomatoes I start about February 10th. But,
well, I can do big pots.
But I'm in a greenhouse starting them on a heat mat. It's about a perfect a situation as you can get. So the thing is indoors, getting them as much light as possible. Do they want to get leggy and real spindly? They won't develop much of a stem.
You got to get a lot of light. I better get a good grow light.
Get as much light as you can. And I sometimes, if I was indoors, I put a very low-powered oscillating fan blowing on them, because that very little wind movement will make them develop a bigger stem.
Okay.
I don't have to do that in the greenhouse because, I got all the sun, the temperature, everything is...
If I get them up and I see that they're starting to do something bad, I'm going to rush them to you.
You let me know. I can't lose the
Gladys tomato. I just can't do it in my dear memory of my cousin.
Well, yeah, that is precious. Yeah.
Well, I jumped the gun.
We'll use a little. There's lots of people eager.
Yeah. I know. I was trying to explain to somebody the other day about how people think about tomatoes all year round.
Oh, yeah.
And it's really a short season for a good backyard-grown tomatoes.
It's where I started growing tomatoes in the greenhouse to produce fruit for Governor Perdue. I've never met anyone in my life. She would eat tomatoes and probably still does. Every day, three times a day.
Good gracious.
Every meal.
Yeah.
Out of that.
So well, a good one, I can do that.
Did she like light bread, or do you know?
Most of the time, she was eating them with a salad.
Oh, okay.
But I have known her to slice them and put them on a saltine cracker.
Oh, my. A cracker?
Yeah, no, that's a new one.
From there. But yeah, that she, because she loved them so much, I was growing all kinds of stuff outside. I said, well, I'll see if I can't grow some in the greenhouse. So that was the reason I began experimenting with how to grow, produce fruit in a greenhouse, and led me from all the heirloom ones to really, if you're going to try to have many tomatoes actually produce them, you've got to use one of these greenhouse varieties that was bred for that, because you can grow a German Johnson or a Cherokee Purple in a greenhouse and it will produce fruit, but nowhere near the quantity that you can from some of these greenhouse bred varieties.
Oh, I didn't realize they were greenhouse varieties.
Oh, yeah. And 10 years ago, 80% of every tomato you bought in a grocery store was grown in a hothouse somewhere in North or South America. And now it's probably 99%.
Well, I got something. I broke down the other day and got some tomatoes at my grocery store. Not fit to eat. Not fit to eat. I'm spoiled.
The best test you can do is smell. If you pick it up and it doesn't smell like a tomato, it's probably not going to taste like a tomato. But I ended up growing some varieties. Big Dina was a red tomato. This a greenhouse variety that actually tastes good. And Marnero was a tasted very similar to Cherokee Purple.
Yeah.
So purple tomato doesn't get as big. You can grow some that are sliceable, but it's not going to make
it. Yeah, well, I've had some at the farmer's market that were greenhouse grown that I loved. I think the problem of the grocery store is when they pick them, they're probably just as green as a green apple.
And if they ever have been refrigerated, whatever flavor they had is gone.
Well, and they're going to be refrigerated at a grocery store.
To keep them from losing them and shipping and all that. It just robs every bit of the flavor.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Did you hear that Duke's mayonnaise was sold to another company?
A Yankee,
no,
too.
Let's don't have any.
Mike, can I say that on air?
I don't know.
I think a Yankee company bought them.
They better man up and keep it like it is.
Well, I'm sure Yankees.
It like, wasn't Hellman.
Like Duke mayonnaise too.
Well, I'm sure they like making it. Money. So
one of those places like Hellman's didn't buy it, did they?
A woman started making this in Greenville, South Carolina, and the production got too big for. This was in the 20s, I think.
Making sandwiches for the troops. There was some kind of fort close by.
And so maybe Fort Jackson. No, that's in Columbia. I don't know. But at any rate, she sold it to the Sawyer family out of Richmond, and that's where it stayed for a long, long time. Private equity. Joel says a private equity firm. So
it almost makes me want to heave.
Hopefully they don't leave out anything to save money.
You mess it up, sauce you wrote.
That's right, yeah. Got to have our Duke mayonnaise. All right, more of the Weekend Gardener straight ahead here on WPTF. Rufus Edmonston is with us, and Gerald Adams, who is our king of the tomato, and now peppers and other things. Squash?
Eggplant.
All of that. We'll talk more about gardening coming up here on WPTF and keep you up with the weather.